I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Are you aiming for a better you or a brand new you? One of the best things about a new year is a fresh start. Not every year, but for many years, I'd write down a list of all the awesome things I was going to do in the coming year. Maybe you guys do the same. I'm always going to get to the gym a little more. I'm going to go on a bunch of great hikes. I'm going to eat more salads, like this salad right there. It's called a French fry salad. There's some green on there. This year, my goal is to get my biceps to look like Craig Culp. Where are those biceps? Craig, where are you? I don't know. Oh, he's back there. Can't see him. You know, all the usual stuff. Resolutions are really like goals. You know, they give us something to aim for. They help us think about being better. And who doesn't want to be a little better, right? It's a good thing. But here's the truth. As I look in the mirror, a better me is not really the goal. I don't need a better me. I need a whole new me. In other words, I don't need a resolution. I need a revolution. And revolution means extreme change. It's out with the old. It's in with the new. The revolution of 1776 happened because people said they wanted the most significant government change possible. They wanted a whole new way of life, not just a better version of the old. And the reality is, a whole new you might even sound impossible, might even sound unimaginable. You might be saying, yeah, that sounds great, Aaron. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've said. You don't know my past. You don't know what I see in the mirror in the morning. You're right. I don't know. But I do know this. With Jesus, it's never too late. Amen. New life. Transformation can happen to anyone, anywhere, at any time. How about the story of the woman caught in adultery? Listen to what Jesus says to her. John chapter 8, 3 through 11. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group, and they said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What do you say?" But Jesus bent down and he started to write on the ground with his finger. And when they, the Pharisees, kept on questioning him, Jesus straightened up and he said, "Let any of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at this woman." And again, Jesus stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And at this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left standing with this woman. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has nobody condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin." The teachers of the law were constantly trying to trap Jesus. It's a common theme throughout the New Testament. Trying to get him to break God's law or break Roman law. So they sprung this woman on Jesus in the middle of church. Their hope was to get this troublemaker, this rebel rouser, this Jesus guy out of the picture so they could get on with their quiet peaceful lives. And these guys, these teachers of the law, they knew God's word better than anyone. They were highly educated. They knew all the right answers, yet they missed the most important part. They didn't know how to live any of it. And these are the same guys that Jesus warned in Matthew 23. And Jesus says this, same group of guys. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law, you hypocrites. Out of duty of performance, you tithe your spices, but you've neglected the more important matters, the things that actually matter. You've neglected justice, mercy, faithfulness. You guys are like whitewashed tombs, sparkly clean on the outside, but on the inside there is death and decay and a bunch of stink." And there really isn't another group in the entire Bible that demonstrates more blindness and pride than these guys right here. They were totally oblivious to their shortcomings, totally oblivious to their hypocrisy. These were not guys that got up in the morning and said to their wives, "Honey, would you make me keenly aware of all my faults? Don't hold back now," right? Like we do, right, guys? Yeah, sure. You know, these are guys that, man, they thought they knew it all. And they stood in the church lobby with stones in hand, ready to kill this woman. But then something incredible happens. Jesus asked these guys to look in the mirror. And maybe for the first time, they looked in the mirror and they saw something ugly. And one by one, each of these guys put down their stones. Jesus asked us to do the same. He asked us to put down our stones. Our stones can fly for any number of reasons, even right here in the church walls. Things like politics, values, worldviews, tattoos, no tattoos, Husky fan, Cougar fan. Yeah. That struck a chord. If you're an Oregon Duck fan, maybe you deserve a stone or two. No? Don't say that? All right. One stone I'll never forget came from a less than gracious older gentleman about 10 years ago. So I was preaching this particular Sunday, and within about 20 seconds of stepping off the platform, I was met with Bob. Every church I've ever been to has a Bob. And Bob was that one guy who really thought it was his job to keep me humble. Bob had these big, grumpy, unkempt eyebrows. They kind of looked like the, you know, they cascaded over his glasses. Sometimes when I close my eyes at night, I can still see these big, grumpy, unkempt eyebrows looking right at me. And Bob said this, "You keep on preaching like that, people are going to stop showing up." Wow. Ouch, Bob. Ouch. You know, I would never say anything about Bob. I would never throw a stone at him or talk about his big unkempt eyebrows. Come on. I'm not going to do that. You know, Bob's intention was to help, right? He just wanted to offer some instruction or assistance. But man, that stone hurt. I was a pastor. All I want to do is deliver God's word. And Bob said, "You stink." And now you might be looking at the adulterous woman this morning and thinking to yourself, adultery, wow, that's one of the biggies. And I've made some mistakes, but at least I haven't done that, right? Well, I hate to break it to you. Every one of us has fallen short of God's standard. And thinking otherwise is foolish. It's off base. It's not true. How about the loud religious guy that he's overheard thanking God that he's not like that loser over there? Remember that story? Luke 18:11. "Thank you, God, that I'm not like those other people, those crooks, those evildoers, those adulterers, even like that guy, this tax collector. And the point is this. We put down our stones when we realize we're just as broken as our neighbor. We're just as broken as the person sitting next to us. Only by God's grace do any of us sit here with breath in our lungs and clothes in our back and food in our fridge. God doesn't love any of us more because we have more education or a nicer car or more money in the bank. I don't think God really cares that you can recite the books of the Bible backwards. Take Paul, the Apostle Paul. Here's a guy that could have said, you know, I wrote most of the New Testament, first missionary. I'm kind of a big deal. Paul didn't say that, did he? 1 Timothy 1:15. This is Paul writing to the church, telling the entire church this. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Didn't use past tense. It was present language. I am the worst. Today, this day, I am the worst of all sinners. It was through Christ that Paul saw things clearly. He wasn't surprised, but what he saw in the mirror. When he looked in the mirror, he saw a broken sinner like all of us do. You know, it's pretty easy, or it's easier to throw stones at others, I would say. But maybe the most common place to throw stones is that we throw stones at ourselves. One of the main reasons I think we don't see transformation in our lives is because we allow our past to impact our present, don't we? There are a whole lot of reasons in this life to look back over our shoulder or in the rearview mirror and feel shameful or regret. I should have. I wish I hadn't. Why didn't I? If I just would have. I've said them all. Said some this week even. Maybe you've been saying some of these things to yourself. If I just would have. For some of you, some of us, it sounds absolutely imaginable, unimaginable to be free of your past. There's been decisions, circumstances, situations in each of our lives that we feel like we have to pay for over and over. Things that continue to come up over and over. Things done, things said that you feel are too big for God. So big that it's beyond repair. Have you ever thought, it's too late? God could never forgive me for that. I hope you hear Jesus loud and clear this morning. Yes, he would say, you are the worst. I am the worst. But by God's grace, the story doesn't end there. Jesus is all about leaving the past behind, making a fresh start, giving you new life with a brand new you. With Jesus, the old is gone and the new has come. And like he says to this adulterous woman, go now and leave your life of sin. There's nothing in the Bible that says this woman expressed shame or guilt about her life, about her decisions. But you can imagine it, can't you? Think about how she may have felt heavy or burdened or maybe hopeless about her future as she stood there in front of the church, in front of all these people. This is what I did. This is, I guess, just who I am. But with Jesus, the story of guilt and shame is over. The story just isn't better. It's brand new. Romans 8:1. The Bible reminds us there is no condemnation. There is no guilt for those who know Jesus. So if Jesus is in your story, condemnation isn't. Guilt isn't. Jesus paid for all the junk that we've ever done or ever will do right there on the cross. It's over. All that's left is to believe it, to receive it, to receive his gift. I've always been curious about what Jesus writes in the dirt. Interesting, huh? Been a lot of speculation and theories over the years as to what Jesus writes in the dirt. You know, was it an Old Testament passage, or was it just a message maybe to this woman? Or did he write something for everybody to see? Did he draw a picture of a whitewashed tomb with an arrow pointing to those guys? You know? Did he remind this woman? Did he say, you're God's child. God loves you, no matter what. Did he write her name? Did he write, it's not too late? The Bible doesn't tell us. But the same finger that wrote in the dirt is the same finger that brought life out of nothing as God formed man out of dust. It's the same finger that wrote God's commandments on the tablets of stone. This is the same finger that gently touched the blind man's eyes and gave him sight for the first time. It's the same finger that knit you together in your mother's womb. This finger doesn't make mistakes. But this woman, if she didn't know any of that, imagine the terrible, overwhelming fear that might have crept in as she stood there waiting for the stones to fly. I got this image of maybe her covering her head, or maybe closing her eyes and thought, well, this is it, I had a good run, right? After all mistakes deserve a punishment. Yes, they do, absolutely. There are consequences to sin in this life. Yes, she did deserve that, just like you and I. We all do. But here's the thing. The one person with the power to punish this woman sets her free and changes her story. Which is why Jesus reminds her it's really only his opinion that matters. Jesus said this, I don't condemn you. You're not guilty. But go now and leave your life of sin. In other words, this woman's slate is wiped clean, as if it never happened. But Jesus' words come with a challenge, don't they? He didn't say, go and, hey, just try to sin a little less. He didn't say, hey, just go and try to be a little better of your old self, be a better version of your old self. That's kind of like making a resolution. No. Jesus says, go and change your life. Go live a new life, a new creation. We don't know the end of this woman's story. The Bible doesn't tell us if this woman ever slipped back into her old ways or if she fell back into temptation. But we do know this. When she met Jesus, she was never the same. She came to him as a woman in ruins. A woman who probably felt like she had nothing left. A woman in despair. And she left with a woman with a second chance. Jesus rewrites her story. And that's the person that she saw when she looked in the mirror from then on. She saw who Jesus sees. Same thing for us. When we meet Jesus, he offers us a new life, not just a better, improved version of our old self. So the question for all of us is, will we take him up on that offer? Do we want new life? I'm not sure what you're going to see in the mirror this coming year. But if you need a New Year's revolution, try Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that it's never too late for a revolution and a new start. Holy Spirit, shape and form us into who you created us to be. Help us put down the stones in our hands, Lord. And Lord, we praise you for the new life you offer by wiping our slate clean. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.